Let's begin with prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the Passover of your Son, you have brought us out of sin into righteousness and out of death into life. Grant to those who are sealed by your Holy Spirit the will and the power to proclaim you to all the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, you ready? You're up.
Okay. Ezekiel 37:1-14. The Valley of Dry Bones. Or louder.
If you want the microphone. Come use that. You don't need to get too close.
You know, right?
It's really loud today.
Ezekiel, the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all round them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord."
I love that passage. Thank you. That's a good one. We have been walking together this Lent on the way of love. We have considered a variety of aspects of a rule of life, a set of disciplines that we as Christians might adopt, practices that we might incorporate into our daily lives that allow us to be on the journey with Jesus. We have covered a lot of territory, right? We've talked about turning, about the need for regular repentance, and a regular practice of examining our lives in light of the choices and decisions we've made. We've talked about learning, about the importance of regular reading in Scripture, of participation in the Word and the sacraments here at church, and studying God's Word. We've talked about the need for prayer and how important it is to lift up our own needs and the needs of others in prayer. And we've talked about worship, right? Last week, worship? Blessed. We talked about blessing. Oh, so important. So important to bless one another, to bless God. This week, we tackle a fifth topic, and there are a couple more, and we're just going to run out of Sundays in Lent to attack those. So we'll revisit them, don't worry, later in the fall. Today, our topic is rest. In our culture, in the hustle and bustle of daily living, we tend to run from task to task to task, from meeting to appointment to meal, often eaten in the car or standing up or at our desk, back to phone calls, to carpool, to meal prep, and at the end of the day tend to collapse if you're anything like me. Maybe I'm just talking about my own life up here, but collapse in front of a TV or a device and zone out until we go to bed and get up and do it all again. I think we've lost the rhythm that God designed into creation of regular periods of rest. There is a regular period of rest in between an inhalation and an exhalation. But we never notice it because we're too busy running around. God created the world, and we hear at the end of that first creation story, on the seventh day, God rested. And because of that, God hallowed that day, holified it, right? That's what it means, made it holy, and commanded all of us to rest on that day. And we don't. I don't, anyway, not as well as I should. But a rule of life to follow Jesus on his journey, on the way of love, requires us to rest. I don't know about you, but for me, when I'm running around like I described from one thing to the next, not even pausing to have a meal in peace, I am not very good at loving. How about you? Short-tempered? Snappish? Inattentive? To be on the way of love, then, requires us to rest and care for ourselves and allow God to love us so that we can recharge and love others. In the story of the dry bones from Ezekiel, we hear about how God sent God's own breath, the Holy Spirit, onto a field full of bones, right? Valley of the Dead. And this breath from God was enough to reanimate the dead bones into living bodies. Sabbath time is about that. It's about reconnecting with the breath of God that was breathed into each one of us in creation. Provides us with the opportunity to be refreshed by God, for God to breathe new life into us. And when we forget to do that, or when we don't plan to do that, we can feel just like dry bones running around on a constant hamster wheel. The Gospels tell us that Jesus regularly retreated to rest. In those times of rest, he prayed, right? He withdrew to a quiet place. Of course, he faced the same challenges that we do, right? He would withdraw to a quiet place, and they would find him in this massive game of holy hide and seek. Right? Everyone's looking for you. Gotta get back to work. And he would usually, after having had his rest, go back to work. Studies show that people who take regular breaks from work have higher rates of creativity and productivity. We don't rest to be more productive, though. We just know that when we do rest, we are more productive, right? Got to make sure that that correlation doesn't get confused with causation in our minds. So, any of you have a watch or an Apple Watch or a Fitbit or something that counts your steps throughout the day and buzzes at you from time to time? No. Yes. Mine buzzes at me at 10 minutes to every hour and tells me it's time to stand up and walk around. And 5 minutes later, it buzzes at me again and says, now it's time to take a deep breath for a minute or two. It's a really great little device that forces Sabbath on me, and I can't tell you how often I see it and think, I don't have time to get up and walk around. I don't have time to take a deep breath, but I do. So today, I want us to spend some time in our small groups at tables talking about your own discipline of rest, or your lack thereof, if you want to have more of a confessional conversation time. But there are some questions that I handed out that are prompting some conversation around rest and how well we're doing at that, what we miss about that. And then, so let's take about, what time is it? Let's take about 10 minutes to just sort of have a small group conversation about Sabbath, about rest, about the Ezekiel passage, and then we'll come back together and share. Let's come back together. I love it when there's active conversation. That's hard to stop. At your tables, did anyone share that they have a regular practice of Sabbath time? A hero in the room. Yeah. It's difficult to create for oneself. I do as well. If you ever try to reach me on a Friday, you will hear back from me. If you hear at all, Friday is my Sabbath day. And the way I try to observe that is that I don't put anything at all on my calendar for the day. It is really important to me, and this is something I've adopted just since ordination, to have one day where I wake up in the morning and don't have anything I have to do or anywhere I have to be. I realize that I am very lucky in that I get to do that on a weekday when my husband is at work and my children are at school. And I realize that before that point in my life, I did not have that down quite so well. Has anybody read any of Lauren Winner's books? She has a book called Mudhouse Sabbath. Lauren Winner is a former Orthodox Jew, now a Christian, and she talks about her conversion story in a different book. But in Mudhouse Sabbath, she evaluates practices that our Jewish brothers and sisters have and hold on to as part of their faith, as part of their rule of life, that maybe we Christians might call the baby with the bathwater when we when we entered into the new covenant and let go of some things from the old covenant. And she talks about Sabbath there as one of those practices. Sitting Shiva is another one that she highly recommends we think about reclaiming. She came and talked with the clergy of the Diocese of Dallas specifically about Sabbath one weekend. And two stories from that strike me that I want to share with you. Moses goes up on the mountain and comes down and he has these tablets, right, with commandments written on them. And we know there's one about Sabbath, right? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, right? And so she's reading through the Ten Commandments, or she had one of us do that. And then she said, now flip to the back. And I should have brought the reference, but flip to the back. It's like Exodus 20 or 25 or maybe even later. And there's a recapitulation of some of the commandments. And in later on in Exodus, Moses is talking with the people and he says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, whether human or animal among you, shall be put to death. And she says this in a room full of clergy who've all been to seminary, and there is an audible that you can hear go around the room. that it was that important to God that in the restatement of that particular commandment, there was this consequence. Now, I'm not sure that we ought to go around killing one another. Frankly, I'm not sure there are very many of us who would get out of the room alive. But I do think that connecting that to the Valley of the Dry Bones, that there is some sort of killing of our own selves that we are doing when we don't set aside time to rest is really significant. Here's the other thing she said that weekend that stuck with me. When your grandparents spoke about what they did with the time they had, I suspect they used language like, we passed the time together, right? You maybe have read that in literature from the, late 1800s, early 1900s. Over time, the way we talk about time has changed. So that we, what are some of the ways we talk about passing time? Because we don't say, well, I passed time with my husband last night, right? What do we say? I spent time. That's an economic term, isn't it? I spent time. How else do we talk about time? I saved time. I wasted time. Clint Black has a song called Killin' Time. This killin' time is killin' me. That's a good Sabbath song. Lauren suggested that it might help us to recover a practice of Sabbath time to think about the way we talk about our time. And she offered up, how do we want to inhabit time? How do we want to live the time we have? And that's been really helpful for me, so I offer it to you in case that's helpful to you. One of the questions in the small group, questions that are offered, is about offering Sabbath rest either to other people or to the earth. Did anybody spend any time talking about that one? Have you ever driven past a Chick-fil-A on a Sunday and thought, No. Well, you know, Chick-fil-A gives its employees off on Sunday, right? They're never open on Sunday.
Hobby Lobby,
same thing. So are there ways that we can offer other people Sabbath time by not demanding of them? Now, for example, I don't go shopping on Friday. I might eat a meal out. But as part of my Sabbath, I try not to demand work or output from others. I don't actually think that I'm saving anyone any work when I do that, because I know they're still there. But the world used to be set up in such a way that everybody had a Sabbath on a Sunday because nobody was open. There were no movies, there were no stores. That all changed in the mid-60s. And it created the society that we live in today, in which nobody can actually get any Sabbath time, because nobody wants to give anybody Sabbath time anymore. We just want to consume and consume and consume. So thinking about Sabbath as not just being about resting ourselves, but about refraining from activities like commerce and other things. And then about custodianship of the earth. So Sabbath might include, like it does for Jewish brothers and sisters, a Sabbath from electricity consumption, right? If you are able to do so, unplugging things, turning off all the lights, not having that constant hum of the computer that's always plugged in and has that little processor that's worrying and that sort of thing. It is a different way of thinking about Sabbath, and it's some different activity that you could incorporate into Sabbath. I tend to move more slowly when the lights are off in my home, you know. Tend to expend less energy myself. It's a little bit more relaxing. So that's an offering as well. If there were, and every week we leave here and we offer you a practice, right? So when we talked about repentance, we sent you home and said, you know, think about maybe some things that have been nagging you, some practices in your life from which you need to repent. Maybe make a list, maybe use some time this week to prepare for a confession during Lent. Each week we've given you a suggestion. I wonder if people have been doing those. This week I really strongly like to encourage you to do this, right? To spend some time this week in Sabbath rest, which involves going home today and getting out your calendar and looking to find where you're going to put it and blocking it and committing to yourself and to God that you're not going to do anything then. Now, emergencies come up. I get it. But most of us could find an evening in the week when we're going to turn off the television and maybe turn down the lights and take a walk with our spouse or put our feet up and just read something relaxing or read scripture. In the Jewish tradition, there are certain activities to do on the Sabbath that are listed as holy and blessed and sacred, and all of those that I just commended, reading God's word, taking a nap, taking a walk in nature are all listed there. For those of you who are married, you'll be delighted to know that Sabbath is perfect time for making love with your spouse. And it's considered blessed in the Jewish tradition. Did you know that? It's a fantastic thing. When else are you going to do that? I mean, if you're fitting that in. Sorry, I'm getting off point. Okay. So please do, when you leave here this week, think about a time just for this week when you might experience even an hour of Sabbath rest. Trying to go from none to a day is probably impossible. Think about an hour or two and practice that before you come back for Palm Sunday. And as you do, I wonder if you could think about making that a regular part of your week and potentially expanding it to a longer and longer period. That is, after all, what we're working on as we think about our rule of life, is what things need to be tweaked and incorporated into our lives going forward. So I offer you God's blessing, God's wisdom and guidance as you leave this place and think about creating space for Sabbath in your lives. May God richly bless you in that time. Amen.